KPBS On Demand is supported by UC San Diego's Art Power, presenting the Ciudad Garrido Flamenco Company. August 9th at the Epstein Family Amphitheater, Flamenco Intimo blends traditional flamenco forms with a contemporary new vision. artpower.ucsd.edu.
Good morning, I'm Lawrence K. Jackson. It's Tuesday, July 28th. We dig into the origins of San Diego's suburban sprawl. More on that next, but first, the headlines. The National Weather Service says Hurricane Genevieve could produce waves anywhere from 8 to 11 feet tall starting late Wednesday. The heavy surf is expected to primarily bring waves that are 5 to 7 feet tall. But NWS says the larger sets will take shape periodically. El Nino could be impacting Hurricane Genevieve, but a forecaster with the Weather Service told the UT that it can be difficult to determine its exact impact on any storm, also noting that sea surface temperatures are higher than average, which can make storms stronger. The public comment period on proposed increases to Cleveland National Forest recreation fees has been extended. It's now open until September 30th. Cleveland National Forest says the fees would help meet the increasing popularity of forest recreation and go towards maintenance and enhancing visitor experiences. Proposed increases include previously no permit required sites like Three Sisters Falls and Cedar Creek Falls would be $4 per day, as well as multiple campgrounds like Boulder Oaks Equestrian Campground, which would see their single site fees doubled. Once this public input period ends, proposed fee increases will be reviewed by an advisory committee and then sent to the regional forester for final approval. Heads up, San Ysidro, your community activity center is now open once again. An event is being held today at the Colonel Solomon Ysidro Community Activity Center to celebrate improvements made to the site. The nearly $6 million in renovations includes a new multi-purpose sports court, a new playground, accessible walkways, new bathrooms, and a resurfaced parking lot. From KPBS, you're listening to San Diego News Now. Stay with me for more of the local news you need.
Hello, this is Dr. Michael Lalage, Medical Director and Chief of Staff for Kaiser Permanente San Diego. For more than 50 years, San Diegans have entrusted their health care to us. Our care and coverage connect to provide medical care tailored to each member. With our integrated network of primary and specialty care, we work together using evidence-based medicine to help deliver positive results. We believe in a healthy and engaged life with good beginnings and dignified endings. We believe that life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness requires total health, including equal access to high-quality, affordable health care. At Kaiser Permanente, our cause is health. Our passion is service. We work to help make lives better. To learn more, visit kp.org/San Diego.
San Diego has been on a push to rezone neighborhoods for higher density housing. The so-called upzoning is motivated by a housing shortage that has increased prices, and it's also intended to combat suburban sprawl. Metro reporter Andrew Bowen dug into the origins of San Diego's spread-out development.
At first glance, San Diego's Mission Hills neighborhood looks like a suburb in the middle of the city. Quiet streets, houses with big yards. But look closer, and you'll find a lot more than just single-family homes.
This is an area that was built up in the early 1900s, in the teens and the 20s. The streetcar ran down the street.
Mike Stepner lives in Mission Hills and worked in the San Diego City Planning Department for 27 years.
And one of the things about the older neighborhoods is they look very low density, but they have a lot of infill. Duplexes, apartments, granny flats.
Most of those duplexes, apartments, and granny flats were built before Mission Hills was downzoned. Downzoning is when a city changes a neighborhood's land use regulations to allow for less housing. It really took off in San Diego after 1967, the year the city adopted its first general plan. Leaders at the time said the plan would encourage more compact development and less sprawl. In reality, it kicked off decades of downzoning. In the 60s, 70s, and 80s, San Diego downzoned Mission Hills, Hillcrest, North Park, Midway, Claremont, La Jolla, and more. That effectively banned apartments in many of the city's most walkable neighborhoods and pushed growth further into the suburbs. Stepner says the city was using zoning to try and solve every little neighborhood issue, sometimes to the point of absurdity.
And I remember a discussion about whether a yogurt shop is the same as an ice cream shop. And, you know, what the hell difference is it? It makes no difference.
Zoning was instituted in the early 20th century as a way of separating industrial from residential uses in predominantly white communities.
Richard Rothstein is a historian and author of The Color of Law. He says throughout the 20th century, cities across America used zoning to segregate neighborhoods by race and class. The country had begun to outlaw explicitly racist housing discrimination. Downzoning, however, could be a more subtle tool for segregation. Supporters often said it would preserve community character.
Preserving community character is a code word for keeping out non-white people. You can't prove it just by the phrase community character, but frequently when you go into the city council meetings where this is being debated, people do make racially explicit comments that explain what community character means.
Downzoning also prevented lower-cost housing options from ever getting built, says San Diego's city planning director Heidi Von Blum.
The higher the density, the more affordable the housing can be. And so if it were not but for the downzoning, we'd probably be in a very different situation than we are today in terms of housing affordability.
Downzoning was the norm in the latter half of the 20th century, but today it's the opposite. The city has significantly upzoned near jobs, public transit, and other amenities. Von Blum says San Diego has run out of vacant land to build low-density housing, so it has to grow inward and upward. And she says when the city is updating a community plan, it listens to more than just the homeowners in that community.
We may hear from decades ago, the community wanted no change, no additional housing. They wanted large lot sizes. We may not have heard from the workers that were working in the community that were commuting in for an hour and really would love the opportunity to live on a smaller lot size in a smaller house and being able to, you know, enjoy that community.
While San Diego has been reversing some of the downzoning from the last century, it has not made significant changes to the city's single-family neighborhoods. That could change later this year with an initiative from Mayor Todd Gloria to allow more townhomes and smaller lots across the city. Andrew Bowen, KPBS News.
San Diego's Veterans Affairs healthcare system says a new $205 million spinal cord injury center should be open early next year. Military and Veterans reporter Andrew Dyer spoke to local paralyzed veterans who say the facility is badly needed after years of delays.
The Army Corps of Engineers said it would open 2 years ago. They later revised that, saying it would open early this year. Now, the San Diego VA healthcare system says its new spinal cord injury and community living center will open in early 2027.
There's a massive need for long-term care for spinal cord injuries.
Lewis Irvin is the executive director of the Paralyzed Veterans of America San Diego chapter. He says his organization is working with the VA to finalize design elements in the almost 200,000 square foot facility.
You know, faucets and mirrors and accessibility, height requirements, spacing around the rooms and then the bed, the technology that goes in the rooms for your environmental control units. This facility is going to be great. It has electric blinds, so you can actually be a patient in a bed and, you know, ask your windows to open and you can see outside where, you know, currently that's not the case.
A VA San Diego spokesperson says infrastructure and technical problems are to blame for the construction delays, but construction is done and the VA took charge of the building earlier this month. The VA expects the center to open to patients early next year. Andrew Dyer, KPBS News.
Comic-Con has come and gone, and now the cleanup is underway. Reporter Alexander Wen looks at how the city wrapped up the massive pop culture convention.
Downtown San Diego is still bustling with activities. Now that Comic-Con is over, what went up must come down. Crews are tearing down building wraps, dismantling activations, and packing up props. restaurants and bars downtown were packed throughout the weekend, and busier than in recent years, according to Michael Trimble. He's the executive director of the Gastime Quarter Association.
It's been a real positive thing. We've also seen a lot of more Hollywood A-list stars coming to Comic-Con this year, which we didn't have last year, which increases the wow factor.
This year, the iconic Gastime sign over Fifth Avenue was temporarily transformed with branding for Avengers Doomsday, something Trimble says has never been done before.
I think they want to, you know, do and give fan service to people coming down, so there's something that they won't forget.
He says it was a collective effort between the city, the association, and the film's marketing agency. Alexander Nguyen, KPBS News.
Last week, a viral video showed a man allegedly assaulting a sea lion in La Jolla. Now federal authorities are investigating the incident. Robin Davidoff chairs the Sierra Club Seal Society. It's a volunteer group that helps educate visitors about sea lions. She says she hopes the person responsible is caught.
Like everybody else, I was horrified. And it's been playing a lot, and I can't even watch it more than that first time. It's just so disturbing.
The Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration confirms they are investigating the incident. The people involved could face fines or even jail time. In San Diego, one woman's on a roll to preserve and pass on Black skating culture. Reporter Katie Heisen witnessed the wheels in motion.
Under a sunny blue sky at Liberty Station, about 50 people wobble, whirl, and groove on roller skates.
Look at how this baby just started off. Now she's skating without the guard. That's wild.
Stacy Watkins cheers them on in a jersey that says Black Skate SD.
Let's go!
Watkins started roller skating in 2020 during the COVID pandemic.
I was in a really toxic relationship, so I wanted to heal for childhood trauma. So one of the things I went back to was roller skating because I used to do it as a young child.
She wanted private lessons, but couldn't find a Black instructor. She says that was important because roller skate culture is Black culture. Black people were banned from roller rinks in the 60s and 70s.
Because of that, we had our own style of skating. We had our own culture, our own moves.
Like JB style out of Chicago.
You can think about James Brown and how he moved, how he slided all over the floor, the jazz movements.
She created Black Skate San Diego to keep Black skate culture rolling. She says they have faced pushback.
So Black Skate San Diego can kind of offend a lot of people because when you hear the word Black, you think, oh, okay, like we're not invited or we can't come.
But at a Black Skate San Diego roll, you'll see a kaleidoscope of skin colors, ages, and abilities. They teach for free and lend spare gear to anyone who can't afford it. Watkins' next goal?
Invest in flooring to actually have a pop-up skating rink so we can pull up in, the inner city of Black people to pull up wherever we want to and just show people those moves, show people our culture.
Katie Heisen, KPBS News.
That's it for the podcast today. The pod today was edited by Brooke Ruth and hosted and produced by me, Lawrence K. Jackson. As always, you can find more San Diego news online at kpbs.org. Thanks for listening and have a great day.
KPBS On Demand is supported by Bilhau Plumbing, Heating, and Air Flood and Restoration Services. Family-owned and operated for over 46 years, Bilhau has been serving San Diego homeowners with home services since 1980. Bilhau's full-service team offers heating and air solutions along with dedicated flood and restoration services and an expert plumbing team. Their trained professionals are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to respond to both routine needs and unexpected emergencies. Bilhau is committed to providing excellent communication, transparent pricing, and quality workmanship on every job. Appointments can be scheduled by phone, online, or through live chat at their website. Call 1-800-BILHOW or visit bilhow.com because we know how.